everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, the 10th of February, 2022. Tom, it looks like we're going to have some temperatures pushing almost, this will be the first 80-degree temperature of the year. I could, I like 70, 75, but I'm not going to complain about 80 in
80's
February.
80's not bad.
No.
And we might see that Sunday.
Really?
Sunday or Monday.
Yeah, I hope no wind, though. The wind can...
May have some light breezes tomorrow.
Okay.
But Sunday doesn't seem to be too bad.
Good.
Might be a little breezier Tuesday, though.
All right. Well, I will enjoy the weekend, as will everybody else, as we prepare for Valentine's Day, which is coming up on Monday. Buckmaster Show, we're in year 12 already here on the Radio Project, 34 years in TV and radio in town, and we broadcast from the Green Thing Zilkalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. Buckmaster Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome now General Ted Maxwell, Southern Arizona Leadership Council President and Executive Officer. The Southern Arizona Leadership Council, made up of about 140 CEOs, business and community leaders. Ted Maxwell spent 34 years in the military. The general had 15 years of active duty service in the Air Force and an additional 19 years in the Arizona Air National Guard. He retired as a major general in 2018. His final military position was as the commander of the Arizona Air National Guard. Last year, Ted was appointed by Governor Ducey to represent Pima County on the 7-member Arizona State Transportation Board. And as a member, the Pima County member of that board, he is a sitting member on the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority here in Tucson. General, how are you?
Doing great today, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. I wanted to bring you in now to talk about the whole compromise that you engineered to try to settle kind of what had been an ongoing dispute between the city of Tucson and the other members of the Regional Transportation Board. The city felt they were being shortchanged, not really having enough of a say on that 9-member board. Take us through your thought process and where you saw an opening for some common ground is hard to find these days, but you found that opening.
Well, Bill, honestly, the key was all the members of the regional council and, you know, the RTA and the PAG regional council is one and the same. So we just have two different meetings every day because they're different functions and different authorities that provide us those two councils. And this solution was taken at the PAG regional council because ultimately that's what the city was focused on, was changing the voters, the voting process for that PAG regional council. And it really was just about getting everybody to start talking about what is possible. You know, so many times we look at things that we want or we'd like and we'd like to see done, and sometimes they're just not going to be achievable, mm-hmm. often because of the positions of all the folks at the table, and sometimes because of what it is we think we want to do. And in this case, a change to the PAG and or the Regional Transportation Authority's voting structure would require us to go to Maricopa. Well, this is a regional issue to us, and we need to solve it. Mayor Winfield, who took over as the chair of the Pima Association of Governments Regional Council at that meeting.
The Oro Valley mayor, yeah.
He stated at the end, you know, that we're not MAG. We're not 33 members. We're 9. We're still a closer-knit community. Yes, we're growing. I think there's so much more we can be. But it's good to try to come up with solutions for us. So I think what my proposal did, and I'll tell you, Rex Scott coming out and saying that he was not going to support his own proposal was probably the moment that the conversation really changed and took off. I just tried to get at what was the real concerns, not the desired outcome from the city, but what was their concerns. And if you listen to the start from the conversation, they were worried about getting these final projects done. We know that due to 2008's recession and other things, the money didn't come through to the full $2.1 billion we were hoping to raise through the 20 years of the RTA 1. And so that was one of their concerns. They were concerned about having their voice, and their voice because Tucson makes up over 50% of the population in our region. And they felt that the current one-for-one vote provided them less voice. But I just tried to peel it from a different angle, and that is it the one-for-one at the board level? I mean, 99% of our votes at the PAG and the RTA are unanimous.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of agreement. Mm-hmm. So where is the voice that they feel they're lacking? And I think we were already in the process of looking at changing the Citizens Advisory Committee mm-hmm. that at the meeting that was going to follow the PAG meeting, the RTA meeting.
Which has how many members, Citizens Advisory Committee?
It has 35 members.
35.
It has 35 members, and about 3 months prior, Rex Scott had made a motion to increase that because during the last 3 years, it had lost 13 members, was down to 22. So we knew we wanted to get it back up to 35.
Mm-hmm.
And so the proposal already on the table was to bring that number up more in line with the representation of the members of the organization. That mm-hmm. included, right now, there's no representative of the South Tucson, there's no representative of the Tohono O'odham, and there's no representative for the Paskayaki. So we wanted to make sure that they had voices at the table as well. So along with those three, mm-hmm. the remaining 10 members were predominantly, if not entirely, from the city of Tucson, which now, here's the group that is going to, the Citizens Advisory Committee builds the next RTA plan.
Mm-hmm.
35 members, and now 18 members that live and reside in the city of Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really up in that 56%. So it's kind of in line with the population. But as I also like everybody to remember is, of the other 17 members on that committee, I'm betting at least half of them work in the city of Tucson.
Right.
And even more of them play in the city of Tucson, whether it's coming down and to support the
sure.
University of Arizona and our mm-hmm. athletics, or whether it's going to the revitalized downtown mm-hmm. area for music and entertainment, or the numerous restaurants that are in the city of Tucson that mm-hmm. people want to go to. So I think now that Citizens Advisory Committee, which will build the RTA next, has the voice that the city was looking for. Also in the proposal, we increased the number of city and county representatives on the Technical Management Committee. So the Technical Management Committee is the one that provides the expertise and the ability for project changes to make sure they work as you build that next RTA next.
Mm-hmm.
And then also included additional consideration for some additional changes. We'll have to have another Citizens for the Accountability of Regional Transportation, or the CART Committee, mm-hmm. which actually ensures that the RTA, once approved, is executed as it was approved by the voters. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that first address changes if they occur. As you know, Broadway and First, mm-hmm. there's projects that have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes through the CART committee with that Technical Management Committee, making sure the proposed changes are viable.
Mm-hmm.
So those were kind of the big pieces that I was looking for voices. Now, there was a couple other pieces that I think the city asked for, and I think will make the RTA even stronger than it was previously, and that was the addition of the Citizens Advisory Committee building in a review process into it. When we passed it in 2006, we had a 20-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no way to address, other than maybe working through the CART, any changes. So now we're going to ask for periodic reviews every 5.
Making the plan more fluid.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We don't know what technology is going to
sure.
do. We don't know what transportation is going to do. We don't know how our community will grow or expand mm-hmm. or contract, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So why not set a process in the plan that we can take to the voters that says, don't worry, every 5 or 10 years, we're going to review the plan and see if all the projects are still viable or do we need to adjust them? And then it doesn't become a drawn out discussion where you've got factions fighting against whether we should just, let's build some of that flexibility into the plan.
What's next? When can people start making input into the plan?
Well, the
for the next whatever it is, 20-year plan.
So the beauty of it is now all the cities and municipalities, all the county
on board,
the
yeah.
regions have they're on board. They've all provided their recommended or their requested projects for the
mm-hmm.
plan,
mm-hmm.
and now we've got the Citizens Advisory Committee back up to 35 people. It's time for them to start meeting and start putting together that plan. And that's who will be bringing all the different ideas. Obviously, Move Tucson is the work that the city went through that. They provide the entire plan to the Citizens Advisory Committee as well of their recommended regional projects to try to get a flavor for how that's going to go. And I'm hoping it will take maybe a year for the Citizens Advisory Committee to build a plan, get the first brush look from the board, and then you go out and hold citizens open meetings. And, you know, RTA 1, I believe there was somewhere about 200 open meetings where citizens could show up, provide their input to it, and it resulted in tweaking the plan before final approval to send it to the voters.
And there'll be plenty of opportunity then for people to have their say. Ted Maxwell, stick around. We've got another segment with you, but right now, General, I want to talk about something we all can agree on. It's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They're making a beautiful heart-shaped Kringle for Valentine's Day weekend. Steve and the team up at Mona's would be very happy to show you a Kringle and then let you have a beautiful taste of it. Almond would be good. They're doing a variety of flavors with that Danish Kringle. They're open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast Tuesday through Sunday at 6:30, and people are ready when the doors open. Believe me, they want their pastries. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, ready for Valentine's Day. I was up there over the weekend, and boy, they turned out some beautiful Valentine's sugar cookies that I could not resist. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be back with more with General Maxwell right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our lifeline presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We continue now with our conversation with General Ted Maxwell. Ted is the Southern Arizona Leadership Council President and Chief Executive Officer. He is also a member, the Pima County member of the Arizona State Transportation Board, that one of seven members there, and he, because he's on that Arizona State Transportation Board, he has a seat at the table on the nine-member Regional Transportation Authority here in Pima County. General, I think there's confusion. Many people don't understand what's driving transportation needs in our community. Is it the state or is it the RTA?
Well, it depends what side of the budget we're looking at. There's a lot of money that does come down through the state through, you know, our fair share of HERF and VLT funds. But when it comes to expansion of our infrastructure, you know, I just got previewed to the next five-year plan and for the state dollars, and we expected to see zero money for expansion. But there's actually a little bit because the VLT and the funding is coming in at a higher rate due to the economy coming back. So all the expansion money in the state budget is for Greater Arizona. Mm-hmm. And you can say Greater Arizona being all the counties not named Maricopa or Pima.
There you go.
So the key to driving infrastructure expansion and growth in our region and in Maricopa is through the transportation authorities that we've been granted by the state legislature. And for us, that means the RTA. So if we do want to expand roads, that, and expansion doesn't mean new roads necessarily. It means widening, adding more lanes if necessary. It does mean creating new bypasses or roads. That all those, that new build has to be in the RTA. So it is critical. I want to point out on that passage of the compromise by the council, it was a 9-0 vote.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned, how do we ensure that we get the citizens to support RTA next? One, we build a plan that meets all their needs, and then we have unanimous support from the members of the council. So all
they
the
can
cities,
take that to their constituents.
Absolutely.
We take that plan to their constituents because everybody's got to be on board to make this thing happen.
Absolutely. And it's regional in nature, and people forget that. We already talked a little bit about the purpose of a lot of these regional roads is taking the citizens of Marana and Ore Valley and getting them to the city or from Sarita, both for jobs, for pleasure, you know. And why would we not ensure that we've got a good system to do that? It was critical that we had all the municipalities on board for RTA1, and it will be critical we have all the municipalities on board for RTA next. You know, that was part of the reason I think the council saw the wisdom. Many of the council members voted they didn't like everything in this compromise, but because they understood the importance and the need to have regional collaboration, they all came along with it.
Paul Cunningham, one of those council members, was on the show yesterday. He likes what you did in engineering that compromise. He likes the way the program is going. This, and we should point out that the current plan is a 20-year plan. It will expire in May of 2026, so we've got a little over 3 years. Will that plan possibly include, like Councilman Cunningham would like to see, what they call kind of limited parkways?
Well, I think there's a potential for that. It's going to come down a lot to what is in Move Tucson. Obviously, when we talk about that parkway that Councilman Cunningham's talking about, it's really moving folks from Houghton all the way into the downtown area or to the other side of Tucson. So it's going to need support from the residents and the members of the Citizens Advisory Committee from Tucson to help put that on there. But I think if you look at what drives both the economy and our quality of life, and people forget the quality of life, is the ease of transportation. That it's important, especially as we've got a wide, you know, in Arizona, our cities and towns aren't, you know, little combust urban environments. They're pretty wide and spread out. And you look at from Councilman Cunningham's area out to Vice Mayor Santa Cruz's district, that's a long distance. So we've got to have some roads in there that are going to facilitate and expedite
to move that traffic.
Sure.
Let's go to the live line. Doug Martin called us from Good News Communications. Doug, how are you?
Very good, Bill, and I just wanted to thank you, General, for your leadership on brokering this deal. It's very important, and I wanted to ask you another question because I think one of the problems we've had in Tucson is a fractured business community when we're not at the table. Someone said before, you're on the menu, and I know you have a good relationship with Michael Guyman and I believe Dave Perry at Oro Valley Chamber, and I wanted to see what your thoughts are about a unified business community as we move into the future.
Well, thank you, Doug. I appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate all you still continue to do in this community as well. I think the business community's always been pretty good at speaking with a single voice. We have the understanding. The question is, have we been vocal enough about changing things, or is it always just supporting or playing, you know, whack-a-mole and trying to knock out things that, that would be bad for the community? And I do think there's potential that you'll see a bigger movement of the business organizations working together to both call out what we think's needs to be done in a more efficient manner to benefit the community, but also to get behind in supporting things like the RTA. Regional solutions are great in so many different areas. They aren't the panacea for everything. And the fact of the matter is, I don't think any of the mayors, we pointed out at the last regional councils, the mayors and the councils of those individual cities want to make sure that they've got the ability to impact their individual municipalities and represent their citizens, and they should. So we're not looking for anybody to give anything up. But, you know, that the sales tax that the city of Tucson voters will have a chance to look at in May is really critical for roads and transportation. You know, criticism's always placed on the city for not taking care of their roads. Well, here's an effort. They're going to put 80% of the funds raised from that into the neighborhood roads. Every neighborhood road will be touched in 10 years. And that is a move forward, and I think it's one that I think you probably will see the business community line up behind and support.
All right. We had a question from a listener via Facebook, and the question is, what is Southern Arizona Leadership Council doing to ensure a better educated workforce in Pima County?
Well, SALC, since the beginning of SALC in 1997, there's really been two areas. We've got five different focus areas, but there's been two that we've been active involved all the time. One's infrastructure, as we've been talking about a lot today. Matter of fact, if you look at the last four Pima County representatives on the State Transportation Board, now they've all been affiliated with SALC in some manner. But the other one's education. And we've worked extremely closely with Pima Community College. We're working extremely closely with JTED. And both those organizations focus so, you know, very much so on creating and educating for the skills necessary in our current workforce. And a lot of that, especially at Pima Community College, is reskilling, where people, their skills no longer make for a viable living in our current economy and society. And you can go back to Pima Community College and get very defined skills. You don't have to go back and get a full degree, but get those skills and certifications in a lot of cases to work forward. JTED's been expanding and hitting a lot of the same workforce issues. You're seeing it in the HVAC world. You're seeing it potentially in the creation of a new health services focused high school out at JTED, and they're doing wonderful things out there. And ultimately, we still have to support the entire P20 system. It starts early. It starts when they're young. You know, you hear a lot of conversation on the radio about getting our students reading at an early age. If we can create that, and then they've got opportunities to go into the different areas and different tracks to come out with skills that are going to make them productive in our society. A lot of it, question is, we have to identify those needs too. We have to find out what is it that the skills they need, not only now, but into the future, and start creating that early and not be reactive. proactive is what we need to be.
And the Joint Technical Education District, known as JTED, has really been a success.
It really has. And Kathy Prater, their superintendent CEO, has been doing a wonderful job of expanding that opportunity. They've got their campus now, where they're both teaching both TUSD programmatics and then into the specific technical education side of it as well. And it creates an environment where it gives young men and women the opportunity to choose and explore things they want to do early and find out what their future could hold. Sometimes I think they don't even realize how good it could be until they get exposed to those things that they think they're going to like, and they find out that they do.
And there's a great career for people that want to go into a non-traditional kind of higher education. Great career for them. Just take a look at the shortage in just about every one of the trades, right, Ted?
And Bill, that's a great point, because there's opportunities out there. And opportunities means we need to provide access. And we need to provide a way for those kids to get to where they want to go, to the programs they want to explore. And that's how they'll become better contributors to our workforce.
All right. General Ted Maxwell, always a pleasure. We'll look forward to our next visit. Thank you, Ted.
Thank you, Bill. I always appreciate it. And happy upcoming 50th anniversary.
Yeah, thank you very much. All right. Pima County Supervisor Adelita Grijalva on our live line. She is next on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Speaking of green things, we love green things. And, of course, Valentine's Day is coming up Monday, so a lot of people will be giving green things and beautiful things, not only Monday, but I would imagine folks would be kind of jumping the day or so and making it like Saturday or Sunday. So how about a visit over to Green Things to pick out some beautiful flowers, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a beautiful 13-acre site, also containing all of those shops known as Zocalo Village, beautiful merchandise. Much of it is handcrafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com, the two websites. Green Things in their 51st year and open daily. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Pima County Supervisor representing District Number 5 and the chair of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board, Adelita Grijalva. Adelita, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Bill?
Doing real well. We just spent a half an hour with General Maxwell, Ted Maxwell, talking about the compromise that he engineered between the city and the other eight members of the RTA, Regional Transportation Authority Board. And it appears, Adelita, everybody seems to be on the same page, and I think that is good, a good thing for regionalism. Would you agree?
I absolutely would agree. I was hoping that the city wouldn't walk away from the RTA, and I think that it's an important compromise and also gives the opportunity for continued discussion, which I think is important. I did actually watch, the discussion, and so I thought that it was a good compromise.
I think this could be, this RTA Next has a lot of potential. I hope it is sold in a way to the people of Pima County in an area that we really do need to move forward in a regional matter for our residents.
I think we're more successful when we do that. The recent examples that we have with working with the city and rolling out testing sites and rolling out vaccination for COVID, I mean, those have all been very successful. So I think we just need to take a cue from the work that we've been able to accomplish when we work together and do more of that.
Let's talk a little bit about Pima County looking to extend the COVID mask mandate through March. The current mandate expires the end of February. I assume that's going to be on the agenda next week?
It is. It is on the agenda.
Can you talk a little bit about that? What are some of your feelings on it?
You know, we're still in a very high level of transmission for COVID. And the last time we lifted the mask requirement just within our own county buildings, we were at about 121 people for 100,000 in our population that were testing positive and had COVID. Right now, we're at about 800 per 100,000. So we're in incredibly high transmission, and I just don't think that right now is the time for us to lift any mask mandates.
It has been very frustrating. I've been looking at the daily numbers. Yes, much of the rest of the country has had a dramatic drop in cases, but Pima County, like today, the number of cases of COVID cases over 1,000. I think we got down to 700, but it's been right around between 700 and 1,000, 1,100 cases. There is still widespread COVID-19 in this community.
There really is. We still have people in the hospital fighting COVID. We had an incredible loss to our TUSD community just day before yesterday from fighting COVID. So I just think that, you know, we have to keep some perspective that while this is a milder variant for some people that are immunocompromised, are pregnant, dealing with some other health issues that might be underlying that they might not even know about, this is still, it is still a virus that can cause people to go into the hospital. So our numbers for hospitalization haven't dropped dramatically. Our schools are still, have teachers out with COVID, students out with COVID. Last month was pretty devastating for our community. And the data that I was provided is of the 270,000 people that have had COVID in Pima County since the beginning of the pandemic over 2 years ago, 24% of those people contracted COVID last month in January.
Wow.
Those are huge numbers. And I just think, you know, we're just at the beginning of February. This isn't the time to change course. And we need to do what we can to keep our community safe and continue to push vaccination.
What is the situation at TUSD right now? It's been a couple of weeks since we had an update. And I know there was all sorts of issues with putting enough teachers, healthy teachers, in the classroom. It was all hands on deck. I remember that Dr. Trujillo told us that he would even be in the classroom. So what? Give us an overview. What's going on?
Well, I think we're in a little bit better position. I mean, when you consider where we were in January, anything really is an improvement. And so we are in a better position. Right now, we're really focused on the aggregate expenditure limit that we're really hoping people will contact their legislators and push for approval of that. That is, that deadline is looming pretty significantly here in March 1st. And if that doesn't pass, then that's a loss of billions to our public schools. But specifically, TUSD would have to find a way to cut $58 million from our budget.
Could you explain what is this extension?
Right. So basically, all it is we're just asking for the legislature to lift the expenditure limit. What that means is we were allotted, all of the schools were allotted X number of dollars by the state. And those are dollars that are already sitting there. They're not, we don't have to take them from any other line item. Those are there waiting for schools. But because we had some funding directed to schools specifically from the feds, we've reached the limit of spending. And so the legislature has to vote to allow us to spend the money that has already been allocated to us. So it's kind of like, you know, you get $50 a month, but it's birthday. And so you get another $25. Your parents say, I'm not going to give you that $50 a month. I'm only going to give you 25 because you already have 25. You know, that money that was coming from the Fed was specific for COVID mitigation, specific for PPE, specific for other things. And so we couldn't just spend it on anything. And this, the general fund money is money that our districts have already budgeted for and are counting on and desperately need. So some districts are talking about increasing class sizes. I mean, doing a lot of really letting teachers go. And this point in the contract when we all desperately need to keep our qualified staff, this is just a horrible timing. And I hope that, you know, that moves forward quickly.
And what is the deadline again from the lawmakers?
March 1st.
Wow. So we're talking like 3 weeks, 3 weeks away, less than 3 weeks. Oh my goodness.
It's pretty dire and something that we are, you know, we have a lot of campaigns. Our superintendent of public instruction, Kathy Hoffman, you know, did a state of education address and really talked about it yesterday. I mean, these are things that are really going to devastate our schools and we need our lawmakers to act now.
And what is the holdup? Why are they not acting?
I'm not, you know, our superintendent went out and tried to, you know, talk to legislators up at the state to really try to encourage them, you know, let them know what the devastating effects would be. And I think the impression for some is, and... you know, you have to, you might have to, you know, fire teachers, you might have to close schools. I mean, I do feel like this is a continuation of the attack on public education. And these are funds that have already been allocated to us. And if they're the limit isn't increased. I just looked it up. It's $1.1 billion that K-12 systems would have to cut. So it's really significant. And to our smaller, more rural districts, it'll be even more devastating.
Wow. We'll have to keep an eye on that. March 1st is the looming deadline. Adelita Grijalva is with us. Adelita, stick around. We've got a more for you after we take the break in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, the Buckmaster Show. By the way, tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview will be Congressman Raul Grijalva. Congressman Grijalva will be with me in studio tomorrow. We'll pause right here.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail and over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. How about a weekend getaway? Get in the car, get in the truck, make that drive over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over to that area. Everybody comes back and says the same thing. Bill, I've lived in Tucson all my life. That's what some of them say. And never been over there to that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. They have a great time. A lot of outdoor activities. The elevation is about 5,000 to 7,000 feet. So, yes, it's a little bit cooler during the daylight hours and at evening, but it's really a great time of year to do some outdoor activities like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Start your planning now by going to Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. There you will find all sorts of ideas about things to do and places to stay. We continue now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, with District 5 Democrat Supervisor Adelita Grijalva, and she is the chairwoman of the Tucson Unified Governing Board. Supervisor, I wanted to talk a little bit about this statement that will be read at the beginning now of each board meeting. The board voted 4-1 to adopt this statement. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to read it. This has to do, this will be read at the beginning of each meeting. And here it is. On behalf of Pima County residents, we honor the tribal nations who have served as caretakers of this land from time immemorial and respectfully acknowledge the ancestral homelands of the Tohono O'odham Nation and the multi-millennial presence of the Pasquayaki tribe within Pima County. Consistent with Pima County's commitment to diversity and inclusion, we strive toward building equal partner relationships with Arizona's tribal nations. Why did you think this was important to have this statement read at the beginning of each meeting?
You know, I think it's important because we are neighbors and we're sharing this land. And, a lot of what we do at Pima County is talking about environment and talking about housing and talking about health of our community. And I thought this would be a way to acknowledge who has been in our land, but also to really increase the partnership between us and the nation and the tribe.
Going back to the situation with COVID, what can be done for people who are finding they're being evicted? Is there help for these people that just are having trouble meeting their rents?
Yes, there is an eviction. If you go to Pima County, I think you can even just Google Pima County Eviction Help, and there is a link there. For information, you can call Pima County. There's several departments, but if you go to that line, you can get some information there. There is several different places, but we have eviction prevention, several locations, rental assistance. Both the city and the county are doing that. And so if you just look up rental assistant and eviction prevention, there's a lot of information there. Catholic Community Services is the partner. So it's Chicano por la Causa, St. Vincent de Paul. The tribes have assistance. And so we're doing what we can to try to make sure that people can stay in their homes and work with property owners to let them know that eviction, like rental assistance, is on its way. And I think that's what we're trying to do with the partnerships that we have.
Yeah, in December, the board agreed to spend $425,000 on a rental assistance program. It was a one-year contract with four private law firms to try to keep people in their homes by seeking rent assistance, negotiating with landlords, and offering legal advice. So there is help for folks.
There is. That's the Emergency Eviction Legal Services, EELS. So You can call 720-724-EELS or 724-3357. That's equivalent. And or if you go online and put in Emergency Eviction Services, there's a button there that will connect you directly to them.
You know, getting back to the Tucson Unified School District, and we were talking about this, the money has to be reauthorized, money that really is entitled to public schools. But
right.
it needs to be reauthorized and given a stamp of approval, but is being held up by our lawmakers. And the expiration on that is March the 1st. And that would have, as you pointed out in our first segment with you, would have devastating consequences. You'd have to let teachers go. It couldn't be at a worse time, talking about letting teachers go when it's difficult right now to even fill the classrooms with qualified teachers.
It is. Well, and, you know, we just have more teachers retiring than we do students opting to go into education. And so there is that issue. I think a lot of that would be negated if we actually paid our teachers as the educational professionals that they are. But, you know, this is going to impact a lot of smaller districts. We do have two different lawmakers that have tried to put this item forward, and neither one has gone out of committee. So it's not that, you know, our supportive legislators aren't trying. It's just they're not even being brought forward as part of the conversation in committee. And so it has to happen. Everyone is acknowledging that this is a looming deadline, but the fact that it wasn't the very first thing that the legislature addressed is why we're in this situation.
How is the situation as far as the remote learning? Most of the students, the vast majority, are back in the classroom, Adelita?
I think our numbers have been holding steady at about 2,500. And so since we opened our schools, TUVA, the Tucson Unified Virtual Academy, that has remained fairly consistent at about 2,500 students. And so we have parents that are just opting for that option. And for some, it's working out well. We tried it for the first quarter with my youngest because he wasn't able to yet be vaccinated and we were worried, but opted to put him back in-person learning. And for him, that was the right decision. But I'm glad that TUSD has the option because I believe we're the only district that has that kind of option, K-12.
You know, I'm kind of ping-ponging back and forth between, because you do wear those two
hats. That's how I am every day.
I know, you're multitasking.
They do kind of go together,
though, and that's
right?
What I'm doing here, multitasking and going back now to Pima County. The situation with the financial picture, we had County Administrator Jan Lesher was with us here in studio on Friday, and Jan was saying that, believe it or not, it's budget time already. She's working on preparing the budget. There'll be budget hearings really in a couple of months. And overall, the picture for Pima County looks stable because of the infusion of some federal dollars. Is that kind of what you're hearing as well?
It is. It is. And that's kind of the same picture in Tucson Unified. The infusion of federal dollars to assist with some of these extra costs. I mean, Pima County and specifically the health department has taken on a huge burden, millions of dollars to offer additional testing, additional sites for vaccines. And so we've absorbed a lot of those costs, and we're really grateful that the federal government has identified those, the need, and is sending some additional assistance.
But then again, you say that the situation for the budget at Tucson Unified looks good and robust. That is dependent on that state money coming forth, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
because we already budgeted for that. And so any additional funding was targeted specifically for what, that expenditure. And so the state has increased some of their contribution. The feds have sent in their contribution, but we did budget for those funds. And so it's just, to me, it's frustrating that we have to, there's campaigns, there's rallies being organized. And instead of just trying to help our communities heal and recover from a pretty horrible, first month in 2022, we're, trying to ask our lawmakers to do the right thing and give schools the money that has already been budgeted for them.
All right. Adelita Grijalva, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was good talking to you. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Pima County Supervisor Adelita Grijalva. Also, Adelita is the chair of the Pima Tucson Unified School District. We appreciate her time. And tomorrow, Congressman Raul Grijalva will be our guest, our Friday Focus interview. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon.